right. Wednesday, a couple minutes after 5 p.m. time for American Hit Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Glad you could tune in, and hopefully you can spend the next hour with us. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, for the next hour. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well to man the boards. Can I say man the boards? Is that inappropriate?
No, I think that's gender neutral.
Operate the boards. And, of course, we are going to do what we always do. We're going to take a look, an in-depth look at an album today. We've started this whole thing about maybe 4 years ago. I don't know exactly when. But we started with the series chronologically in January of 1964. And we've now worked our way up very close to the end of 1972. And we're on November 1972, where we've been for a while. A lot of albums, good albums that were coming out at that exact point in time. Now, we've spent the past few weeks looking at top 40 albums, but now we're going to get to the stranger stuff, the darker stuff, the alternative stuff. That's what our list actually is, or how it originally came about, was by making a list of 500 albums that were alternative albums that did not make the top 40. And this one certainly is one of those, because it did not chart at all. It's an album by the German band Can. And the name...
we played one of their albums.
Yes, we did. The name of this album is Iji Bamyasi, which I'm not sure if I'm saying it exactly right, but I think that's a pretty close. It means Aegean okra. And the album cover is a picture of canned vegetables, a can of Iji Bamyasi. Now, I don't know if, like, as Heidi just brought it up, we did play one of their albums. That was maybe about a year and a half, 2 years ago, when we were probably in the year 1970 or early 71. And that had to be like one of the weirdest couple of weeks of radio that I'm responsible for. It's just, it was a really strange album. We played Tago Mago in its entirety over two weeks. And I just remember laughing because I'm thinking I'm scaring 90% of my audience half to death with this album. And it's really funny to come back to the band again to say, here we go again. So if you do remember that, I don't know what to say at this point, because yes, I am going back into the can.
Yes, you can.
Because they're a truly great band, but they really need a little bit of attention to get it. Here's what I have to say about the band in general and this album, Iji Bamyasi. It's not hard to understand why Can's album catalog would remain obscure, despite near universal critical acclaim. Superficially, they are quite difficult to approach and even harder to appreciate. I had been vaguely familiar with the band for years, but never considered them to be much more than pompous art noise. I mean, first of all, their approach to music was thoroughly unconventional, with a complete disregard for standard song form. Second, the lyrics, vocals, are entirely impossible to discern. I didn't even realize that they were sung in English, usually.
Oh, I thought they were singing in Japanese.
Well, the guy is, Dame Suzuki is Japanese, but mostly what he's doing is he's singing in the broken English that he was using at that time.
Like Marianne Faithfull, using broken English.
I didn't even realize, like I said, that they were sung in English, and the style is easy to dismiss as amateur ranting, which, as it turns out, is more or less exactly what it is. More on that later. Before once again dismissing the band offhand, though, I decided to listen closely to their catalog, but this time with headphones, while reading the backstory to the band's existence. And here's what I've learned. Erwin Schmidt and Holger Zschokai were students of the 20th century European classical music scene. But it was hard to ignore the fact that the new classical music was hardly representative of contemporary culture. Avant-garde minimalism, serialism, and atonality provided the basis for the new classical world, but the public certainly did not embrace the new styles. Artists like Stockhausen, who both had studied under, and Boulez functioned in rarefied air. As part of his study, Schmidt traveled to Manhattan, and he happened upon Andy Warhol's art scene while there. In his own words, his notion of music was corrupted, that's his word, by this trip, causing him to consider the possibility of utilizing rock music as a new color in his musical palette. Thus was born the fundamental basis of what would come to be known as krautrock. Schmidt returned to Germany, where he and Jukai teamed up with free jazz drummer Jackie Liebzeit. An American vocalist named Malcolm Mooney rounded out the group for their early releases, until the intensity of Can's music caused him to quit of almost a nervous breakdown, leaving the band without a singer. Now, the band's second vocalist, Demo Suzuki, was discovered while busking his way across Europe. He was literally singing in the streets for money.
Right.
Jackie Liebzeit and bassist engineer Holger Jukai came upon him and spontaneously decided to recruit
him. He's our guy.
Into the band. He performed with them that very night, improvising in loose English over the band's improvised rhythms. The classic lineup was now set. Together, they released Tagomago, that album that we played about a year or so ago, an incomprehensibly sprawling double album full of dense sound collages that could be simultaneously intriguing and vaguely annoying. Only by listening with a pair of good headphones did the real qualities of Tagomago reveal themselves. Iji Bamyasi, this album, was their follow-up. And as a single album, it streamlines the excesses of Tagomago. By no means conventional, it nonetheless is easier to digest than its predecessor by placing emphasis on the band's strong points. The drumming of Jackie Liebzeit is relentlessly driving, especially for music that is essentially spontaneous. His playing provides form and power to the non-structure of each composition. The most stunning quality, though, is the engineering skills of bassist and recording engineer Holger Jukai. Jukai is plainly a genius with a recording console, as my headphone listening experience plainly demonstrated. I've never heard such rich three-dimensional sound from a mid-20th century pop album. Huh. You feel as though you are literally sitting on the drum stool while the mad genius throws sound in every direction like an oral pop art painter. Iji Bamyasi is definitely not an album that will work at parties. It's anathema to casual listening. Its outsider status provides a significant amount of its appeal, which would explain why Stephen Malkmus, Pavement, Thurston Moore, Sonic Youth, and Jeff Barrow, Portishead, all consider Iji Bamyasi to be one of the most influential albums on their own careers.
Huh.
The band Spoon even took their name from this album's closing track. Iji Bamyasi is created as a one-on-one experience, and it will never be an easy listen, but patience is a virtue that may help to reveal the magic hiding within. So let's get started with the first track on the album, a song called Pinch on 90.3 WHPC.
to how. You just know that provided you always should finish it all at the end of today now.
Oh,
And thus the title. Pinch, the name of that track. I looked it up while it was playing because I wanted to say, okay, is he singing in English or not? Because it's really difficult to discern. And there is an entire, on the internet, you can
there's
find
a translation
anything,
right? Or a...
No, it's not. It's there
not
basically.
A translation, a transcription.
A transcription, and they're all English words. They're not necessarily logical, and a lot of them are slurry, and I'm trying to read to follow along, and I'm like, I don't know if that's what he's actually saying. That thing all night, don't you know, honey, I'm all alone. Don't you know when you hope to blow all at my fly, that flight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things like that. So it's the thing is, the way it works with the music is pretty remarkable on this record. The playing is just absolutely stunning to me. I would say that Jacky Leibseit is one of my favorite drummers ever. He's just so incredibly strong, rhythmically strong and innovative. I mean, it's almost like he's playing a tonal instrument, really, how in charge he is of what is actually happening. And like and the other thing, of course, is like I mentioned earlier, Holger Zschokai's production, which just has the sound spread out so beautifully. The players I did not mention are Michael Caroli on guitar and Ermin Schmidt on keyboards, both who also deserve an incredible amount of credit for giving this music that incredibly like far out sense that really this would be a contemporary album. If it came out today, it would still be a bit of a surprising, crazy record. And it's 50 years old. It's rather amazing. Let's keep going. We'll play the next track up on this very strange but fairly wonderful album called E.G. Bamyasi. The next track is called Sing Swan Song. track is called Sing Swan Song. And again, I don't know if it's just phonetics, but it translates that way, and you can hear those words plainly enough from Damo Suzuki. And as odd as it all is, I mean, that track is hypnotic and mystifying and strangely beautiful. It's avant-garde yet accessible, and that's what makes this album a little bit much more of an easy listen than, say, Tago Mago, when we played the double album a while back, because that album, when it got... It starts with a certain lightness, and it got really, really dark as the album wore on, and that's what made the second half, when we were playing sides two and sides three and most of side four, it was like, wow, this is really freaking out people in the audience, I'm sure of it. Especially when Damo Suzuki started screaming incoherently. It was really weird. One more song on this album that would have been on side one in, of course, this is from 1972 now, which was the vinyl era. In the, right smack dab in the middle of it, actually, is this next track called One More Night.
Come back.
That's one of the catchiest songs in 7/4 I've ever heard.
Pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's almost danceable, and yet it's in a 7-time signature. Sometimes I should have mentioned this, because there's a lot of tracks on this album. You often hear them taken out of the context of the song, even, that they're doing. You'll hear like pieces of these songs often on radio shows that will use them as like advertising bits, or like or ways theme show, but the themes for certain shows. It's because, mostly I think it's because it's recorded so well. It translates brilliantly on the radio, because it's so spacious, the way that Holger Shakai has done the production. You really should listen with headphones if you can. This album really pays off in spades in that regard. Now, we talked about the cover, which is just a picture of, you know, okra, a can of okra, I should say, from the Aegean, thus, you know, Eiji by Miyasi, Aegean okra. But they say that the can on the cover is not just a silly, like, reference to the band name. That's not what they did at all. It turns out that Shakai was in Turkey, and that can was in a shop, and he was so intrigued by it that he bought it, and he brought it back, and he goes, this should be what the album cover is. So that became that. But they said they weren't really trying to be clever at all in that regard, and that the word can apparently means life or something like that in Turkish. So that's really what they had discovered and what they were going for. But their song titles, like Vitamin C and another one that's coming up called I'm So Green, or even Soup, which sounds like it might have some like relevance to a thematic thing, like a canned food or something like that. But so it wasn't the case. The titles just, you know, came from from different places. But Vitamin C is one of the songs that actually began to get a little bit of airplay. And that is the track that opens up the second side of the album. So let's flip over the record and see what Vitamin C sounds like.
No family in cash, our beautiful loans. I stay at the corner. She is a living in the out of a tune.
You're losing, you're losing.
Some amazing stuff here, huh? That's called Vitamin C. Here's what, a little background story on this album. When they had finished recording Tago Mago, they recorded a short song that they thought that they would release as a single. To me, the concept of Ken releasing a single after Tago Mago is almost hysterical. You've got to be kidding. But they did, and the craziest thing happened. It got picked up as a theme song for a German television show. And so they were making a lot of money off of it. And then, because it was released as a single, people started to buy it, and it became a big hit in Germany. So suddenly the band was making a decent amount of money. So they were able to move from the small room where they were recording into a cinema that was turned into a recording space. So they're in this beautiful area now where they're living there, they're working there, and coming up with this material. But the problem was that Erman Schmidt, the keyboard player, and Damo Suzuki, the singer, were addicted to chess. And they would just sit and play chess all day long. And they were getting almost no recording done. The work really wasn't getting done as much as they had hoped. And when the time comes for them to gather up their material, they realize that the album is 10 minutes too short. So they like scramble and they don't know what to do. So they, you know, everybody says, oh, Kando, oh, everything, all their work is basically Hugo Shikai editing all the bits together to create a song. But for this next song, Soup, which is 10 and a half minutes long, there's no editing at all. Basically, they needed 10 more minutes. So by the next morning, they basically wrote it, played it, and recorded it all in one night without editing. And Holger Schukai goes on to say, you know what? It's my favorite track. So here's the song Soup from Iji Bamyasi by Can.
Yeah. the ground. Bug bones and souls. Oh, blue girls at the game. And a fool broke into that other game. Rona Flakirino Banana Propra Demacrona Brilla Brilla
Okay.
Holger's your guy's favorite track. There is
subtle ending there.
Nothing conventional about Can. It's probably the most reminiscent of Tago Mago, the previous album. Let's play one more track so I can come back and wrap it up before we leave. This next song is called I'm So Green.
Just right in my hole, smiling face. slag. Those lads are becoming nomadic. Those lads are making whole. Those lads are making all my head. Those lads are in my head. Yes, I feel everything. I'm so green. I'm so green. Yes, I feel everything you said. Yes, I feel. Yes, you said. Seems like I'm just going. Show me all the time. Think I'm the easy. Seems to the rain. I'm so green. Yeah, I'm so green. I'm so green. I'm so green. I'm feeling everything. I feel everything you say. I feel everything you say. I feel everything you say.
That's called I'm So Green. Now, here's the funny part of this album. With all the technical work that went into every one of those tracks, even the improvised number had a lot of work go into it production-wise by Hoosier Guy. But even after they added that improvised 10-minute track in order to fill out the album and make it long enough, they still found that the album was a little bit short because they spent too damn much time playing chess. So they decided that what they would do is they would end the album by releasing the song that became the hit single in Germany. So here, ending the album, Iggy Bamyasi, is one song by the band that you could say was a hit, at least in Germany. It's called Spoon, and it is the song that inspired the band Spoon to choose that name. Thank you for listening. I had a gas doing this. Hope you enjoyed it too. See you next week, folks.
Weeds at night, speaks her joy, she serves your love.